Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
Morning and welcome to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. I'm Todd Sylvester here with Ellen Taylor on her favorite day.
Oh yeah, we are happy in this room here.
Indeed.
First fish fries of the year.
Woohoo!
Tonight.
Indeed.
Who's cooking, Todd? Who's cooking?
A lot of us are cooking.
Okay.
A lot of us are cooking.
You're just overseeing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mike the Great's at the command center. Reed's doing his thing on this Friday after Ash Wednesday. We're going to jump right into prayer. Let us begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Show gracious favor, O Lord, we pray, to the works of penance we have begun, that we may have strength to accomplish with sincerity the bodily observances we undertake. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank our sponsor, Spectrum Collision, serving the Mobile community for over 40 years. Spectrum provides mechanic and collision repair, tires, 24-hour towing, and more. Located on Airport Boulevard in Mobile, call Spectrum at 251-342-0005 or visit speakhole.com.
And here are your news headlines for Friday, February 16, 2024. Russia's Alexei Navalny, a fierce anti-corruption campaigner who galvanized the country's political opposition, has died in prison, Russian news agencies reported today. The cause of his death was still being established, said prison authorities. Navalny had been serving sentences in a penal colony amounting to more than 30 years on various charges. He was 47 years old. He'd worked for years to weaken Russian President Putin's grip on power, included by attempting to undermine the pro-Kremlin United Russia Party. Nothing to see, Mulan, folks. Rising interest rates are affecting more than just your family budget. The Treasury yields have sprung to multi-year highs, forcing the U.S. government to pay a lot more in interest and putting pressure on the U.S. budget. Interest costs are on pace to surpass defense spending this year as one of the largest government expenses on the budget. Social Security and Medicare are forecast to be bigger, but increases from the interest rates have been worrying the acceleration in government spending by both political parties, and this will eventually weaken the economy. Yesterday's news. Here we are. Egyptian authorities fearful that an Israeli military push further into southern Gaza will set off a flood of refugees, and they are building an 8-square-mile walled-in enclosure in the Sinai Desert near the border, according to Egyptian officials. For weeks, Egypt has sought to bolster security along the frontier to keep the Palestinians out. The massive new compound is part of contingency plans if large number of Gazans do manage to get in. So we're building them.
That's very welcoming.
And oh, yes.
Yes.
Welcoming refugees. Lent.
Yes.
Rain is expected today, and Todd, according to UberFacts, the average office employee who works an 8-hour day is productive for just 2 hours and 23 minutes of that day. Huh.
I've lived that.
All you people get to work.
Indeed. Always look forward to Friday mornings when media czar Tom McDonald joins us. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, good morning. You tapped into part of my theory why teaching is one of the more demanding professions, because you can't afford to only work 2 hours and 23 minutes of the 8-hour day when you're teaching. You've got to be on. So,
well, you could just do that, you know, the day where they'd put on something to view, you know, in the film in the dark.
That doesn't work.
Occasionally it does.
No.
Yeah, you know, Todd's right. It doesn't work, because then you got to monitor everyone, make sure they're paying attention, not falling asleep, not on their iPads. Like, that's in a way that's more work. It's just really that's why we got to have the summer, have the 2-month break in the summer. It makes up for all that.
Indeed. Speaking of the coming months here, what do we have to look forward to with the spring releases at the theater, Tom?
Well, I thought of doing this, doing a little preview of upcoming releases for a couple reasons. One, we used to do these more frequently, and it just struck me that we haven't done this kind of segment in a good long while. And two, it got on my mind because of watching the Super Bowl and seeing so many trailers, ads for upcoming movies during the Super Bowl that I'd either forgotten were coming out or I didn't even realize were coming out. And I got really excited about these films watching the trailers. And I thought, you know, we should talk about that this week.
There are two in particular that I am dying to come out, and I'm sure you'll be talking about them, so I'll just wait.
Okay, and if I don't, go ahead and excoriate me at the end and bring them up. First, just to follow up last week, I reviewed the episodes 1 through 3 of The Chosen Season 4, which were in theaters, and continuing this kind of experiment, The Chosen episodes 4 through 6 released I guess yesterday in theaters, and they're going to be in theaters for 2 weeks. So the first 3 episodes were just in theaters for 2 weeks. Now they've pulled them. Episodes 4 through 6 will be in theaters from now until February 28th. Then they'll pull those. Then they'll put the remaining 2 episodes of the season, numbers 7 and 8, in theaters from February 29th to March 7th. So the one thing that interests me about this is this is experimental. They've put episodes in theaters before as a special one-time event, but they've never put a whole season in theaters in chunks like this. And the reason I'm curious is, for me, the first time it was three hours and 45 minutes. That's a long chunk of time to sit in theater. Mm-hmm. And the second set of episodes, 4 through 6, it's going to be a similar runtime. And I don't plan on going to see them in the theater. I'm just going to wait till they come out and stream one at a time. And I got to think that people who bought tickets to episodes 1 through 3, that maxes out the ticket number. In other words, you're not going to go see 4 through 6 in the theater if you didn't see 1 through 3. You're not going to skip ahead. Mm-hmm. So the numbers can only drop at the box office. So I'll be watching that to see how much they drop off from that first push, which was pretty successful box office wise. So we'll see how that goes. Mm-hmm. So coming up, one thing I'm excited about is not really a new release, but a re-release. On February 23rd, it will be the 10-year anniversary of the release of Les Miserables, the musical version of the Victor Hugo book, starring Hugh Jackman and Russell Crowe and Anne Hathaway, which I've done a media minute about that movie. It's one of my absolute favorites of all time. Now, there are flaws in the movie, but that story and that musical from Broadway adapted to screen is one of my absolute favorites of all time.
It is brutal, though, Tom. We went and saw it 10 years ago. We happened to be up in Connecticut visiting my family. And we were like, hey, let's go to the movies. So we go to the movies. And I came out of that theater just wrecked. I mean, I was dehydrated from crying so much. It was ridiculous.
That's a new level of crying for you.
Yes. Yeah. And I kept saying, because people were like, they got into the van and a bunch of my kids are like, I don't even want to talk about it right now. I don't want to talk about it. And I was like, stupid Hugh Jackman. Oh, my gosh. I mean, we drove back to the house and my family was like, hey, how was the movie? We don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, it was a gut punch for me, too. And it's just such an incredible story. Now, it's not for all audiences. It's a little bit, there are a couple of scenes that are a little bit rough thematically and visually. So I wouldn't bring kids to it necessarily, but teens on up for sure. And it's, again, I actually don't know if it's going to release in our area, since it is a re-release special event. Sometimes those don't always pop up in our theaters. I really hope it does, because I would love to see it on the big screen again with all that, those great visuals and music. Mm-hmm. So that's coming up on February 23rd. Next up, film I'm slightly less excited about is Dune Part 2 coming out on February 29th. Mm-hmm. So, Todd, I think we saw the first Dune movie together.
We did. Mm-hmm. We did.
Yeah, and what I remember about the first, I only saw it that one time. And what I remember about it is that it felt like it was never going to end. And it was, everything was brown and sandy.
Yes. You summed it up. You just summed it up. There's not much to say other than they kept wanting to show Zendaya, whatever, uh-huh, however you pronounce it. And I'm like, she has such a small part in the first film, but everybody wants to talk about her because at the time, what's his name? Timothy Chalamet, mm-hmm, was not as popular as he is now. Don't you think, Tom?
Yeah, that's right. And they really used her heavily in the marketing. And it was really a bait and switch because she only showed up at the very end of the movie. I'm assuming she has a much more prominent role here in the follow-up. And it was one of the problems with it. It was one of these films that was all set up for what's to come in this series of films. So I may rewatch the first one and then go see the second one just to see if maybe it hits a stride, because there are plenty of people who liked it. And there's a lot of the technical elements of it were very good. So I'm going to give the second one a chance. So we'll just see how that goes. Then another one I'm very interested in coming out on March 8th is Cabrini, which we've seen a lot of ads for. This is the story of Mother Frances Cabrini. And it's, what's interesting about this is that it's not made by a Catholic director. I don't believe he's Catholic. It's the same director who just directed the recent Sound of Freedom film, which that film is not without controversy at this point in terms of how true were the events really. But anyway, this story about Mother Cabrini, you know, if you don't know her story, she was an Italian immigrant who arrived in New York in 1889 and set about on the mission or task of convincing the mayor to help her secure housing, healthcare, and things for the impoverished population. She didn't know English really well. Her health wasn't good. And she went on to open schools and other facilities and really have a tremendous impact. And in a visit that Caroline and I made years ago to New York, we visited the church which housed her remains. And that was a very memorable experience. So I'm curious. Here's my thing with saint movies. There are a lot of movies about saints, a lot of biographical movies about saints. And it's hard to get it right. It is really, really hard to get it right. Because what's that term? Hagiography?
Uh-huh.
Is that the term?
That
for,
is.
Like, yeah, for portraying someone as a saint without flaws, mm-hmm, and all that kind of stuff. And that's not interesting. On the other hand, you don't want to disrespect the saint. So to just get it right and tell a real human story is hard to do. And I hope that they pull this off. There seems to be some good buzz about it ahead of time. So we will see about that. That's on March 8th.
We've already pre-bought our tickets.
Oh, wow.
In our family. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, good, good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll definitely be checking that out and reviewing it for the show. Also on March 8th, a little bit of counter programming. Maybe, Todd, you and the family could do a double feature on March 8th, go to see Cabrini, and then come out, walk in the next theater and see Kung Fu Panda 4.
Which you know I would want to do because I am the biggest Kung Fu Panda fan on the planet.
They needed a 4? Did they need a 4,
yes,
Tom?
Yes, they do, Ellen.
Well, I know you'd say yes. I'm asking the expert media czar, Tom McDonald.
Ellen, with the sad state this world is in, we need as much Kung Fu Panda as we can get.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you for speaking truth. Media czar, Tom McDonald. I am going to make a t-shirt with that quotation.
That would mean I'd have to see Kung Fu Panda 1, 2, and 3
before going. Not have to. Get to. You get to.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I'll put that on my list.
Change your life. The trajectory of your soul.
Well, Ellen, it's... this next one I picked out just for you.
Oh, okay, good.
Right. Because I looked at my list, and you'll see why as we go through. Uh-huh. There's a lot of stuff on here that you're going to mock us for.
Well,
all right,
that's a given.
but this one I looked at and said, I'm putting this on the list just for Ellen. Okay. This is a movie that comes out on March 15th. Mm-hmm. It's called Arthur the King. Okay. And it's not about King Arthur. It stars Mark Wahlberg. It's a true story. Ooh. And all you need to know, it's about Mark Wahlberg and a dog that he finds.
Okay, right. Yeah, oh. Just that teaser. Yeah,
that's a little gold doodle, Ellen. You're going to love it.
I know.
You got to go see the movie, all right?
So great.
It's got a dog.
I know.
And Mark Wahlberg.
And I'm sure, like,
what's
he saves the dog, and then the dog saves him.
Yes.
Tom, thank you.
And then they ride off in their golf cart in the sunset.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. Put me down for that
okay.
one, Tom.
Okay.
All right. So that's we'll make that happen. Arthur okay. the King on March 15th.
It was probably shot in Fairhope.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. After that is a movie that I am in theory would be excited for, but am not at all. And that is Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, which comes out March 22nd. The Ghostbusters sort of reboot or slash sequel that came out a couple years ago, I watched that movie on a plane and my earbuds weren't working very well. So I only caught about half the dialogue, which is not an ideal circumstance to watch a movie. But what I feel like is that shielded me from a lot of the badness of that movie that rather than having full experience. So I'm not, you know, the original guys are in it. Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray and those guys are in it, which that is the one reason I would go see it, is to see them. But I just I don't have a good feeling about this movie at all. We'll see. We'll see. But a movie I have a really good feeling about, March 29th, Todd, is Godzilla times Kong. The New Empire.
Yeah. Oh. All right. Yeah, that's a movie that knows what it is, Tom.
Oh.
It knows what it
yes.
is.
Opening for Easter weekend, too.
Woo! Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's I can't get enough of Godzilla and Kong. And in the preview, this is all you need to know. Kong gets fitted with a power-enhanced glove to make him punch harder.
Yes.
So, that's all we need.
Oh.
So
really striving for excellence on this review.
My testosterone is rising.
Yes. On May 3rd, we're jumping into May 3rd. We're getting to dipping our toes in the beginning of the summer here now. May 3rd is The Fall Guy, starring Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. And it is, in fact, a movie version of the old TV show with Lee Majors back in the day, The Fall Guy.
Yeah.
About a Hollywood stuntman who gets involved in, you know, capers and
yes.
action and things in real life. Mm-hmm. So Ryan Gosling, to me, he has become one of my favorite actors. I think that he's extremely versatile. He can do drama. He can do romance. He can be funny. I think he's the whole package. So I am looking forward to that one. Then in case you thought, Godzilla times Kong. I think it's times. The logo says Godzilla X Kong. I'm reading that as times.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
But in case you're like, I love apes. I can't get enough apes. I need more apes. Well, have I got a movie for you. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes on May 10th.
Woo!
Whoa. But doesn't we need another Planet of the Apes movie, too?
We do. We need let me tell you, in all seriousness, yeah. this recent iteration of Planet of the Apes, this is the fourth movie in the series. The first three have all really been solid, excellent movies with a lot of depth and moral themes to think about. And I am excited about this fourth one continuing this series. It's got a new director, so we'll mm-hmm. see if it holds up. But
I've actually seen the first two of those, Tom. I've seen the
Is
first
that right?
two. Yes,
wow.
And I thought they were well done, too.
Ellen.
I know. I probably, you know, flip past them on the TV and stuff. But
Ellen
it.
Taylor.
Okay, I know.
And then, let's see. Well, I don't want to go too deep into the summer. We'll
okay,
stop with
wait. Hang on.
What?
You skip movies that I'm okay. Wondering when they're coming out then. When's the next Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse coming out?
Okay, so that's listed as March 29th, but that has been removed from the release schedule due to the pandemic. The animation takes forever, so they have not reset a release date on that yet.
Oh man.
It's not going to be anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. I'm dying over that one. And then what about the Mission Impossible Part 2?
That has also been bumped back.
Oh, come on!
No!
Stop!
The two
movies that I was really excited to see!
Yep, sorry. Sorry.
Man. Hey,
Inside Out 2 comes out June 14th. So I love Inside Out. I'm hoping the sequel does it justice.
Okay.
Well, at least I got, you know, a dog movie on that list for me.
Yeah.
There we go.
And 2-8 movies.
Oh, 2-8 movies. Oh, yes. Can't forget those. Tom McDonald, have a great day.
All right, too.
Oh, boy. I don't know. Yeah, it was a so-so list there, Todd. Nancy Van Zutch is joining us, and she's from Catholic Parent. We're going to talk about their series, Catholic Sprouts for Kids. Stay with us.
If home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. I'm Todd Sylvester here with Alan Taylor. Mike the Great's at the Command Center. Reed's doing his thing. We're going to be looking at this new program called the Catholic Parent that is put out by both Augustine Institute and Catholic Sprouts. And it's on Formed, so if you have an account with Formed, you're able to watch these videos. And I thought yesterday, oh, I'll watch the trailer.
Uh-huh.
And then I watched the trailer. I'm like, oh, I'll just watch one episode. And I ended up watching three episodes because they're short. I think they're less than 20 minutes. And I was reliving my early days being a Catholic parent.
Oh, okay.
And it was hilarious.
Okay.
It was fantastic. Yeah. And we have with us on the line Nancy Van Zutch, who is the founder of Catholic Sprouts. Good morning, Nancy.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Fantastic.
Great. Thanks for joining us.
I want to thank y'all with the Catholic Parent bringing me back. Like, because now my baby, we're very blessed. We have 10 kids, but our baby now is 12.
Wow.
So other than when our grandkids are at Mass, we don't have any kids that we're holding or that are, you know, throwing Cheerios and doing the like. I haven't been in the cry room in years. So, but watching this, I was like, man, this would have been so good for us though, because you get that feeling like you're the only one going through this, mm-hmm. don't you, Nancy?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And like, that's the whole reason why we were so grateful that the Augustine Institute partnered with us to make the Catholic Parent, because you know, like, there's a lot of good material out there for Catholics, tons of good material for marriage, lots of wonderful material for kids, but we kind of felt like that real, we know how it is or what you're going through content for parents didn't really exist, you know? And it's like you said, people, you just feel so alone, you know? Like, we're the only ones that are getting nasty comments at Mass about our kids' behavior, or, you know, everyone else has got confession with kids locked down and we're, you know, still floundering there. And the truth is, like, it's just hard for all of us, but we don't want to just have the message be like, yeah, it's hard. It needs to be partnered with, like, it's hard, but as a parent, it's so vitally important that you're doing these things, because it's not just for you anymore. It's for you and your kids.
Well, there are things that we're so adamant about now as being more seasoned parents. And I have to do this with my own children who have kids, you know, with my grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, listen, if a child is making noise, don't look. If you're in Mass, do not look over. I mean, unless you really think it's an emergency and you're some kind of a doctor or something like that.
Yeah.
because those stairs, I still remember those stairs. You know, yeah. I'm 56 years old and I still remember those stares of people looking over and grimacing, like, don't you know that there's a cry room? And I mean, we've gone through several different parishes in our lives, and some were just more welcoming to it, and some were not. So now, I love it when, like, just this past Sunday, a family was visiting and they had five small children and they sat in front of us, and I thought, oh, perfect.
Uh-huh.
They don't realize that they are in the perfect spot in this church. So I mean, the kids were doing stuff and everything, and the mother kept trying to correct him. And finally, I whispered, I said, ma'am, we have 10 children.
Yeah.
they're not bothering us, mm-hmm. like, at all.
Right.
And she just smiled. Mm-hmm. I think we need that sometimes. Right, Nancy?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, our whole goal with the Catholic Parent Unformed is just that every parent would be able to see themselves in this, you know? And so I know you said you watched 3 episodes. That's awesome. And so we have, you know, like a parent that has an empty nest or soon to be, and then we're there. We have 6 kids. We actually pick up right where you left off. Our oldest is 12 and our youngest is 2. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're kind of in the, you know, the big van, lots of kids, loud dinner time of life.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. it's fun, but it's intense. But, you know, then we also had a family with just 2 kids because they're suffering from secondary infertility, which is a whole different sort of loneliness in certain Catholic circles. You know, so we really wanted, and then also parents that are just welcoming their first babies, you know, that are just entering into this season of life. And so our goal was just that hopefully most Catholic parents can sit and watch it and at least have moments of being like, oh, yeah, man, I feel that. I've been there. That's hard for me, too. So that we can all just have this, you know, kind of feel empowered, like I'm doing this really hard, super important thing, and I'm not doing it alone. There's a lot of other people out there super committed to it as well. You know, because what we're doing as Catholic parents is so important.
And I also noticed you have a single mom, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was so happy she was willing to do it because, I mean, talk about feeling lonely as a Catholic parent. There's tons of single parents out there, and they're still called to, you know, make their home into a domestic church and raise saints. And so, like, let's acknowledge them. Let's welcome them. Let's help them. And, you know, the woman that is in the series, she, you know, was interviewed, and you actually, the video team goes to each of these homes. They came to our home and watched me, you know, imperfectly parent our crew here. But, you know, she was in a difficult time of life, ended up conceiving a child, has had a radical transformation and reconversion. And it's just beautiful to see how God works in all situations and calls all families to be holy. It's such a good reminder for all of us, really.
So what could our listeners expect, Nancy, like when they watch an episode? Is it a certain topic on each one? Is it like each episode builds upon the previous one? And how should they watch it?
So we wanted this to be, you know, completely in line with church teaching. So we thought, you know, what is the most concise way to sum up our life as Catholics? So we actually use the 5 precepts of the church as the outline. And if that's foreign, you know, talk, the 5 precepts are basically the lowest rung of what you have to do to be Catholic. So it's like our Sunday obligation, confession once a year, tithing, fasting, receiving the Eucharist. And then we also added, so there's a total of 6 episodes. So we added 2 more topics that are specifically called out for parents in the catechism. And that's teaching the faith and leading prayer in the home. So those are the 6 topics. And so what we did is we really explored the way that a Catholic family uniquely lives out those precepts and callings. Because, I mean, like you said, when I was a single person, my Sunday obligation looked and felt completely different than it does lugging 6 kids to Mass every Sunday. You know, like, I'm working up a sweat. I'm trying to hear the homily from the vestibule. You know, it's very different. And yet, it's not like there's an asterisk at the end of that precept that says, you know, oh, but you're exempt if it's really hard. Like, that's not there. And so you know, we need to realize that parents are called to live out these precepts in a unique way, but we're also living them out not just for ourselves anymore. We're living them in front of our children, and we're teaching them, you know, this is what it means to be Catholic. And this is what it means, you know, even when it's hard, even when your little brother or sister won't sit still, this is still what it means to be Catholic. And also, you know, all of these things like tithing and fasting, you know, we're in Lent now. Again, fasting was different when I wasn't nursing babies or up at night. You know, it's different, but it doesn't mean that it's not part of being a Catholic for me anymore. Mm-hmm. And also now I have a 12-year-old son that's watching me. So I'm teaching him how to do this by doing it myself. Mm-hmm. So that's what we use for the outline. And I just hope it kind of gives everybody a shot in the arm as we, you know, really continue to grow in our Catholic identity.
I thought it was extremely well done. I like the way that it's broken up, because not only are you showing the real life family situations, but then you have a teaching by someone. I saw a priest and also a sister giving the teachings. And then you tie it in to some saints. I'm like, man, this is power packed. I mean, in such a small contained unit of 20 minutes or less, I thought it was really fantastic, Nancy.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that. You know, I just am so grateful to be Catholic. Like, we get to stand on the backs of giants, you know, like, we not only get to look to our clergy and religious that spend their life, you know, reflecting, meditating on these things, but we also get to draw on the lives of the saints, you know, and there have been holy families, you know, whole families that were holy. And we don't have to just kind of like start from scratch and try to figure out how to get to heaven as a family. We can just basically do what they did. You know, like the Martins, you know, how were they such a holy family? Well, it's not a mystery. We can read their letters. We can look at their lives. What did they do each day? What did they talk about? And if we really want to endeavor for holiness in our own families, we can just copy them.
Yeah. I was cracking up though, because there are, you always think that the Joneses have got it together.
Oh, they always do. Yes.
You know, like,
perfect.
Like,
God,
we had
pew.
Some friends that came over one time during our family prayer time when all the kids were younger, and the rosaries are flying across the room. Somebody literally was bleeding because of a rosary. I was like, this is the perfect day for you to come, because you guys think that we're levitating.
Yeah.
You think that the Blessed Mother is appearing and we're all having interlocutions.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so real. I loved it, Nancy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. I know. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of people that, you know, they see the size of your family, or, you know, I'll mention we gather as a family for prayer every night. Yeah. And they have this image in their head that we have glowing halos or something. And I'm like, no, I lose my cool at least once every prayer time. And I have to apologize almost every night. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy. We get into the habit, but still, every night I think, can we skip prayer? Mm-hmm. Can I just put them to bed and skip it? You know, you just think like, it's not easy for anybody. Mm-hmm. And even Sunday Mass, you know, we never consider skipping that, but still you walk in and, you know, I literally have friends that after Mass, we high-five each other. Like, ooh, we did it.
We're
still standing. It's hard.
So, Nancy, if our listeners want to check out the Catholic Parent, the series, what's the best way to get there?
So it's on Formed. I hope everybody has access to Formed through your parish. Mm-hmm. If you're not sure if you do, you should ask, because I think a lot of people have access through their parish and don't realize it.
Okay.
If you don't have access, you can always sign up by yourself. I think they're running a great deal where you can get 3 months free, mm-hmm. which is more than enough time to watch this little series. But I just really hope that people love it, and that they see themselves in there, and that they can. And we really tried to put in a few actionable things. You know, I mean, like for family prayer, most people probably aren't at the point where they could add a family rosary every night, mm-hmm. but you can do something small. You know, we can all start with something small now, today. And that really is our hope, that each of these episodes inspires one tiny little thing that a family can do now to live out this part of being a Catholic even more completely.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Nancy, thanks for joining us. And also check out her good work at CatholicSprouts.com. It's programs for kids. Wow, she's keeping busy with six kids and everything. Nancy, have a great day.
Thanks, Nancy.
You too. Have a holy Lent. Bye bye.
Amen.
Oh, man. Todd, I mean, I don't know how she's doing all that. Father Norbit is joining us. Final segment Friday, the Sunday Gospel Reflection. Get yourself ready for this Sunday with us. Stay here on LA Catholic Morning.
And my heart lives by the bay.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor, Mike the Great, and Reed on the line, Father Norbert York. He is the chaplain and campus minister at the Sacred Heart of Jesus Catholic Campus Ministry at the University of South Alabama. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, Todd. Good morning, Ellen. Good morning, everyone.
Oh, good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us, Father.
Uh-huh. Thank you for having me. Pleasure.
Although it's a pretty short gospel, the first Sunday of Lent, huh?
Yeah. It's not very long. That's good. We can spend some more time reflecting on it.
Okay.
All right.
Beautiful. Go go right ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert, and he remained in the desert for 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was among wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. After John had came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So in today's gospel, Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit to the desert. And desert can be a dangerous place. It's definitely a place of trial, purification, and renewal, where lushness of material world is stripped from our senses, where one can experience solitude and more deeply reflect on one's life. And as we all know, there's a deeper meaning to the desert in the scripture. John the Baptist preached in the desert. A chosen nation was led through the desert for 40 years before God allowed them to enter the promised land. Jesus spends 40 days in the desert, and this number is symbolic in the scripture. The 40 years that the chosen nation spent on the desert is actually a length of a lifespan, average lifespan back then. So it symbolizes human life. That's why Jesus spends 40 days in the desert to show us that it was not only one event that started his ministry, but to show us that what happens in the desert with him, what he experiences, is something that happens throughout our lives. Immediately after baptism, he goes to the desert. After we are baptized, we start our journey through life. Before we can enter the kingdom of heaven, we go through different trials and through different experiences, which can be described as a desert. But also, during the Lent, especially, we are invited even more to enter into spiritual desert. We give up certain things. We are called to find more time to pray, to focus on spiritual life, to face our demons. So it's a good idea to ask ourselves on this first Sunday of Lent, what is our plan for Lent this year? Have we already decided what exactly we will do, how we will enter into this time of spiritual desert to grow? When Jesus is in the desert, he is tempted by the devil. And the gospel, the teaching of the church, reminds us that the devil is a real person. He's a fallen angel, and as much as we don't want to give him too much attention, that's not needed. We focus ourselves on Jesus and our Lord. The scripture and our Lord wants us to know about his existence and wants us to know his tactics. St. Paul will remind us that our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities, with the powers, with the world rulers of this present darkness, with the evil spirits in the heavens. And that's why we are supposed to be armored. We are supposed to be ready to face spiritual battle. Because one of the things about Christian life, about Christian journey, is that it is a spiritual battle. Daily, we are called to conquer evil. Daily, we are called to choose Jesus. And daily, we are called to deny ourselves and follow our Lord. And the church teaches us that the devil works in four main ways. It's temptation, oppression, obsession, and possession. And the most common one is temptation. Jesus was tempted. Even Jesus was tempted. It's a good idea to look at our temptations. You know, to be tempted, it's a good thing. The fathers of the church say that as long as you're tempted, that means that you're still standing, that you're following God. When you experience temptations, that means that the evil one is trying to pull you to his side. So when a person is tempted, that's actually a very good state, and it's a great opportunity for all of us, because by resisting temptations, by choosing God in the midst of temptations, we grow in virtue. And the virtues are absolutely needed for our Christian life. The virtues are needed for us to follow Lord faithfully and truly. It's interesting that in this gospel, Mark does not describe the temptations that Jesus faces in the desert like other gospels, synoptic gospels, like Luke and Matthew. But he will show us that Jesus will be constantly tempted throughout his life. And there are three main types of temptations that the gospels show relating to our Lord. First temptation is about relationship with ourselves. It's the temptation when we look for ourselves, when we look for our glory, when we put ourselves in the center of everything in place of God. And that temptation is expressed in Mark chapter 1 when Jesus hears that everyone is looking for him, that everyone wants to put him in the center for wrong reasons as a human being. And then he says, in response to that, he says, let us leave this place. Let us leave this place. And then that's the moment when he starts keeping his messianic secret. He's not revealing who he is because people don't want to recognize him for who he truly is as a son of God. But they are trying to give him glory just as a human being. So he distances himself from that, refusing to fall into that temptation. The second temptation regards the relationships with others. Is the temptation of looking for any kind of earthly power, influence, position to establish kingdom of God or to do good things. This temptation is resisted by Jesus in that moment when he multiplies the loaves of bread and people want to proclaim him the king. He reminds us that the kingdom of God is about serving others, not ruling over other people. He reminds us that kingdom of God is not about earthly power, but it's about weakness that is being perfected through God's power. And finally, the third type of temptation is relationship with God. Temptation of looking for religious power, which we do so well when instead of discerning God's will, we want God to follow our own will. We can even manipulate his will in order to convince ourselves that this is something that he wants for us. And that temptation is visible, especially in the Olive Garden, when Jesus faces the final temptation and has the opportunity to say no to God's will. But he chooses, even if he doesn't want to, he chooses to follow the Father's will. Holy Spirit invites us this Lent to go deeper into our spiritual life, and invites us to address these three types of temptations that we all experience, hopefully, through those three remedies that we heard about during Ash Wednesday Gospel. Through fasting, which relates to a relationship with ourselves, because when we fast, we become more free, we have more self-discipline, we are able to grow in virtues. Through almsgiving, which addresses relationships with others, because when we give alms, we learn to serve those who are in need. And through prayer, which addresses relationship with God. We pray to give glory to him and to put him in the center of our lives. So it's a good idea as we will be celebrating the first Sunday of Lent to ask ourselves, do we recognize the temptations that we face every day? Do we use them to grow? Do we know how to resist them? Also, have we decided yet on our Lenten disciplines? And what have we chosen? Are those disciplines this year related to those three crucial relationships in our life, the relationship with God, the relationship with others, and the relationship with ourselves? It is so important to choose or to pick Lenten disciplines that actually will help us to grow. And I love what the Desert Fathers say in their sayings about choosing Lenten disciplines. They say that we should choose something, difficult enough to challenge us, to humble us, so that at the end of the Lent, we can truly credit God for being able to accomplish the commitment and the discipline. And then something not too difficult at the same time, so we won't become discouraged, so we won't stop in the middle of our journey. Many people choose, for Lent to, for example, to not sin, which is not a great commitment and discipline, because we are called to do that throughout the year. We are supposed to fight with the sin every day. So if someone chooses to go to church on Sunday during Lent, well, that's something that is commanded to us by God's commandment for every Sunday. During Lent, we should do something additional, something more, something that involves either giving up some good things in our lives for the certain purpose, or taking up something that we don't have to do, but we decide to do it because we want to grow with God. May Holy Spirit help us and inspire us to make good decisions and good commitments, and may He give us all the strength and power that we need to resist all the temptations and follow Jesus more faithfully, and gain and regain the gift of freedom that He brought us.
Amen.
Mm. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, that's a really good reminder, because sometimes we need, I think, specifics, direction, because you get thrown into Lent sometimes and you have grandiose ideas. But to narrow it down to a couple things.
I'm going
to
give up sin.
Exactly. That's covering
give
everything.
Give up sin every day.
And to choose those challenges that are actually going to help us grow in holiness, too. And I think that's really important to us, because Todd and I always talk about how we want to get to the end of Lent and be a better person, a more holy person. Amen. And sometimes we lose our way on the specifics that we can do to get there. And we just kind of, cast in the wide net, like you said, giving up sin. So it's really good to focus on this. And just the way that you transpose this understanding of being in the desert for 40 days. And maybe we have to make our own deserts, right, that we can exist in? Oh, and there's the music.
Right.
We're going to leave that there. Father, Father Norbert, can we get a blessing from you before you leave?
Sure. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you and protect you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you, Father Norbert.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
We thank our sponsor, Farnell Heating and Air. Spring is just around the corner. Schedule your maintenance check now to be sure your system is ready for warmer months. Call 251-471-2674 or go to farnellac.com. Farnell Heating and Air, devoted to your family's comfort. Who's coming up on Monday, Mike?
Yes, on Monday, you and Ellen will be looking at the news from a Catholic perspective. We'll welcome Phil Williams of Right Side Radio to talk about his article, Revenge of the Sacrificial Lamb, about MMA fighter and actress Gina Carano. And Mike Aquilina of the Early Church Fathers talks about what the Early Church Fathers had to say about Lent, get its origins.
Amen.
Right.
All right, we're here in the midst of the Lenten season. It has a purpose to draw us closer to Christ. So let's be open to the Holy Spirit. Thanks so much for listening to LA Catholic Morning. God bless you all.
Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.